Thank you, Coach. Open your Bibles to the book of Malachi. Greetings to all of you who are joining us now on YouTube for worship. It is a great blessing for us, and we pray it will be for you as well. Special greetings to my good brother and pastor in Kamavarapu Kota in the state of Andhra Pradesh in India at Carmel Gospel Mission Baptist Church. And also his wife, Shalom, and their two daughters, Monica, who is my favorite, and Mercy, who is my favorite, depending on who brings me the most chapatas. All of us here thank all of you for joining us each week in worship, and we're praying for all of you there, his grace and divine protection. On this fifth Sunday service, please notice verse 7 of the first chapter of Malachi, which says, ye offer polluted bread upon my altar. And ye say, wherein have we polluted thee? In that ye say, the table of the Lord is contemptible. Wherein have we polluted thee? And we have the fourth of 12 questions the people of Malachi's day ask contemptuously of the Lord. Wherein have we polluted thee? Now, what's the statement of truth that the Lord proclaims? All of you, ye, offer polluted bread on my altar. And then he repeats their reply in his words of truth. He said, ye say, wherein have we polluted thee? And then he adds a second reply that they gave him. Ye say, the table of the Lord is contemptible. Now this is a continuation of verse 6, which says, a son honoreth his father, and a servant his master. If then I be a father, where is mine honor? And if I be a master, where is my fear? Saith the Lord of hosts unto you, O priests, that despise my name. And ye say, wherein have we despised thy name? Offering polluted, defiled, and unclean offerings and sacrifices to God with disdain for his altar is just another result of despising God's name and not honoring and reverencing him. Verses 6 and 7 go together. And again, they don't agree. They don't see it. No, absolutely not. We are not doing this. Wherein? Show us. And for the rest of the chapter, that's exactly what he does. Now, God's charge to his people here is that you despise my name, the authority that it represents, and the character of holiness that it reveals. You dishonor and you disrespect me by your actions. You pollute and defile my altar. And you do so by offering stale and molded bread and blind, torn, lame, and sick animals for sacrifice. He said, you have offered polluted sacrifices. And they ask, wherein have we polluted you, God? We're doing service to you in our own way. And how can you tell us it's unacceptable and we're defiling you by what we're doing? When we think of pollution, we think of air, water, even the soil. that's polluted with chemicals or poisons or waste products. To pollute is to defile. It is to render unclean or impure and unfit for its intended use. Now, in his charge to Judah before the first temple, Solomon's temple, before they were carried away to Babylon, he said, all the chief of the priest and the people transgressed very much after all the abominations of the heathen and polluted the house of the Lord, which he had hallowed in Jerusalem. 2 Chronicles 36 verse 14 says. And now they're doing the very same thing with the second temple, the rebuilt temple under Ezra and Nehemiah. Let's state it like this. Number one, God's people Israel despise the Lord's table. God's people Israel despised the Lord's table. He said, you offer polluted bread upon my altar, and you say, wherein have we polluted thee? In that you say, the table of the Lord is contemptible. They regarded it with disdain and contempt. Why? Because they despised God's name and his word. His word with the authority of his name, it's like a check. The bank will not cash your check until you give them the authority to act in your name when you sign it. That's the same terminology that God is using here. They despise that authority. Why do you have to sign the check? I can just fill out the check knowing your intentions. Don't work that way. You see, his word spoke in detail how the altar and the offerings and the sacrifices were to be administered. It explains in detail how the Lord is to be worshiped and served, and they didn't like it. We just read in our reading in Leviticus 22 that the offerings were to be without blemish. They were to be perfect because it pointed to the one and forever offering that was going to be offered on the cross. And it stated specifically, nothing that is sick, nothing that's lame, nothing that's blind, nothing that's torn. So let's call number two the results of Israel despising the Lord's table. The results of Israel despising the Lord's table. Verse 8. And if ye offer the blind for sacrifice, is it not evil? And if ye offer the lame and sick, is it not evil? You're going through an act of worship. You're going through an act of service. And the idea being, it doesn't matter. God will accept everything that we do. Wrong. He said, offer it now unto thy governor. Will he be pleased with thee or accept thy person, saith the Lord of hosts? Is this honoring the Lord, what they're doing? Are they doing it in fear and reverence to the Lord and to his word? I mean, that which was worthless and no value to them, which they had no use for, they gave to the Lord. But in their minds, they were serving the Lord. They were coming to the temple with their sacrifices. But can it even be called a sacrifice if it has no meaning to you and cost you nothing? Notice what the Lord says to them at the second half of verse 8. He said, offer it now unto thy governor. Will he be pleased with thee or accept thy person, saith the Lord of hosts? Would you offer these offerings as a gift to a government official? Would you use these sacrifices that you're giving to the Lord, would you give it to pay your taxes to the government? How does the percentage of your income that you give to the Lord every Sunday or when you show up, how does that compare to the percentage that you give to the government official called the IRS? Do you pay more taxes than you give offerings to the Lord? Came across a story. It may or may not fit. If it doesn't fit, it's only about 3 or 4 minutes. So a lady walked up to an old man who was a street vendor selling his eggs. And she asked him, how much do you sell your eggs for? She said, 50 cents an egg or $6 for a dozen. She said, I'll pay you $4 or I'm leaving. Now, he hadn't sold any eggs all morning, so he agreed, so he could at least have something. She got into her fancy car, went to a fancy restaurant, and met a couple friends for lunch. They ordered all they wanted and left most of it. She picked up the check, which was $210, and the lady gave $300 and said, keep the change. Why do we haggle and complain and feel empowered when we buy from those who have little? And why are we generous to those who don't even need our generosity? In contrast, there was a father who would buy goods from poor people at high prices, even though he didn't need the things he was buying. Sometimes he paid even more than they asked. And he always went to the mom and pop diners and cafes and gave large tips to the waitresses and waiters. So his grown son asked him one day, why? Why are you doing this? His reply was that it's charity wrapped in dignity. Nobody but God and the stewardship ministry counters and the treasurers knows how much you give, and they do not disclose it. I don't know how much you give on purpose, but God does. Do you give to the Lord like the woman did or like the father? To offer acceptable worship, we must honor and reverence the Lord. And we must offer to him our best. Would a governor accept your gift and be pleased and accept you, the Lord asks? Of course not. Verse 9, and now I pray you, beseech, beg God that he will be gracious unto us. This hath been by your means. Will he regard your person, saith the Lord of hosts? So do you think God would accept the gifts and be pleased and accept you when a governor wouldn't? Verse 10, who is there even among you that would shut the doors for naught? Neither do you kindle fire on mine altar for naught. I have no pleasure in you, saith the Lord of hosts. Neither will I accept an offering at your hand. God says, I'd rather you close the doors and not light the fire under the altar than accept your pathetic leftovers. The Corinthian believers in 1 Corinthians 11 were dividing and destroying the church. And then they came to the table of the Lord as if nothing was wrong. Or they didn't come back for Sunday night, Lord, when they had the Lord's Supper. They didn't come at all. There's members of this church that has never had the Lord's Supper. I don't understand. I really don't. And the Lord continues pointing out the result of despising his table. Verse 11. For from the rising, I love this one. From the rising of the sun, even unto the going down of the same, as far as the east is from the west, my name shall be great among the Gentiles. And in every place incense shall be offered unto my name, and a pure offering. For my name shall be great among the heathen, saith the Lord of hosts. In about 400 years, you're going to see Gentiles and Gentile nations do what you refuse to do. My name that you despise will be great and honored among them. The Lord now again restates the charge in verse 12. But you have profaned it in that you say the table of the Lord is polluted. And the fruit thereof, even as meat, is contemptible. And then the final result of Israel despising the Lord's table, verse 13, you said also, behold, what a weariness is it. And you have snuffed at it, saith the Lord of hosts. And you have brought that which was torn, and the lame, and the sick. Thus ye brought an offering. Should I accept this of your hand, saith the Lord? But cursed be the deceiver which hath in his flock a male, and voweth and sacrifices unto the Lord a corrupt thing. For I am a great king, saith the Lord of hosts, and my name is dreadful among the heathen. You had a prize Black Angus bull that you vowed and promised to the Lord. You made a big deal of it. And instead you gave a stray mixed breed cow with hoof and mouth disease. You said, what a weariness is it? I've got better things to do than sit in a pew listening to somebody I don't agree with spout off for 45 minutes, sometimes longer. Church should be fun and entertaining. I realize we're a small church. We're a small country church. We don't have the resources to hire professionals. Entertainers, choreographers to hold your attention, to be entertaining. I don't see that as being the purpose of the church anyway. Not in the New Testament. They say 10 minutes is more than enough time for a sermon. And there's churches that pride themselves in saying, we only preach 10 minutes. I can't even give an introduction in 10 minutes. What they enjoy is motivational talks, psychology, self-improvement topics. This idea of joining a church and being committed to serve the Lord through this specific church, through one or more of its ministries. You got to be kidding, is the attitude most people have. It's not necessary to give up time, money, talent, to disciple and be discipled, to offer and receive fellowship, to pray together, to work in a ministry together. Well, I hear the lip service. How great that this church still does those things and still have a Sunday night service and prayer meeting. But you vote against it with your absence and your lack of concern about what needs to be done in order for this church to function and operate. And I'm not speaking to everyone. This is one of those, if the shoe fits. But ye say, I worship and minister on my own. I don't need to be tied down to a church to do that. As a matter of fact, when I minister, I don't even mention that I go to this church. That's the very same contempt these people in Malachi had. They snuffed at it. I know the Lord said that's how it's supposed to be in His Word, but I just don't see it that way. And after all, what matters is how I think. That's despising His name. That's despising His altar here in His church. You offer God the leftovers of your life, and you save the best for yourself and for your pleasure. That's your choice. But please be aware of the consequences. Please be aware of the result of doing that. And please know that you are caught up in the spirit of the age, which is a disdain for God's word and His church and any commitment and anything you disagree with. It's the worship of Cain. I know what the Lord said, but I'm going to worship and serve Him as I please. I'm worshiping You, Lord. I'm serving You. How dare You not accept it? It's the worship of Aaron and the golden calf. It's what the people want. We have done a marketing survey in our area to find out what the people want in a church, and we give it to them. The term for that is seeker-friendly churches, where lost people love to come to church because they never hear anything from the Bible that convicts them of their sin. Let's come to God the way we want. Let's get comfortable with God and go with our likes and dislikes and conduct what we call worship accordingly. It comes down to this. It is the authority of God's word, or it's what we think. The table is where the Lord is worshiped. The table is where His people gather to do so as the Lord instructed. God's people Israel despised the Lord's table. The result of God's people Israel despising the Lord's table is that they offered to God a false worship and an unacceptable service. Finally, number three, God's people Israel failed to recognize worship as a privilege that can be taken away. God's people Israel failed to recognize worship as a privilege that can be taken away. The Lord asked at the end of verse 13, should I accept this? And he said previously, I won't. Cursed be the deceiver, he says after that in verse 14. And the book ends with a curse. That's the opposite of bless. You ever see a lifetime of savings disappear? Ever see what a divorce does to assets? Ever see what sickness does to pleasure? Just stay obstinate and hard-headed and insist on your way instead of God's way and see how it ends up. The Lord told a very good and sound church at one time, he delivered them a message because they began to let a few things slip. They said, the Lord has so blessed us. And they began to back off with the commitment. As they got older, they said, you know, the younger people can do this. They've got more energy. He said, remember therefore from whence thou art fallen, and repent, and do the first works, and the first love, or else I will come unto thee quickly, and remove thy candlestick out of his place, except thou repent. That church was Ephesus in Revelation chapter 2, verse 5, with a phrase from verse 4. When God's word is contradicted, disobeyed, ignored, worship in his church and service through his church is disdained and even despised, he's quenched, then he's grieved, and then after warning, he withdraws his presence, his power, and the gifts in his people that he operates in order for the church to function. Might as well shut the doors. I know most don't, but they no longer meet the definition of a New Testament church. Don't let that happen here. Oh, I know everything's good now. Oh, I know the Lord's blessing now. He blessed Ephesus. All it takes is to just back off, to be wearied with the commitment. All it takes is for the next generation to say, y'all can do it, I've got things to do. Us over 60 folks won't be here forever, guys. Where's the church going to be in 20 years? Ask some folks in other parts of the country what it's like not to have a Bible-believing Baptist church to be a part of. I pray we would guard our hearts against polluting the Lord and his name. Get involved. Follow these 80-year-olds and learn some things from them. The Lord spreads a table for us through the teaching and preaching of his word, through fellowship with his people, through prayer together with his people. and ministry to his people and the ministry of the gospel to the lost. He seeks our fellowship. Never, ever take that for granted or treat it with contempt. Honor him, fear him, reverence him, love him, worship him, praise him, serve him at this unpolluted altar and at this unpolluted table. Go against the tide. Go against the spirit of this age. If you've never been born again, if you've never been saved, get saved this morning. If you've been saved and never been baptized in water after salvation, take care of that this morning. If you've been saved, baptized, and you haven't joined this church that the Lord has already joined you spiritually to, you need to do that physically this morning. You're saved, you're baptized, you've joined the church. Amen. But that's the start, not the end. Are you committed and actively engaged in the church and in its ministry and functioning? If not, take care of that this morning. Wherein have we polluted thee? Father, we thank you this morning for your word. We thank you we have it. It's clear. It's understandable. Your Holy Spirit, who authored the words, lives and dwells in the heart of your people. You give us understanding. You make these words come alive. Now, Lord, may we believe them and obey them. Lord, you've blessed us here beyond measure. You've visited us here with your presence. Lives have been changed. Families have been changed. May we never sit back on our laurels and say that's enough. May we never get wearied with serving you. May we never allow the world and the culture and its beliefs and ungodliness find a place in this church. May we ever follow your word in all that we do. Lord, engage our folks this morning with what a church is and what it means to be a part of a church family. Challenge us to be what you've saved us to be, what you've called us to do, what you have put us in this church to accomplish for you, to bring you glory and honor, to see lost people come to know you as Savior and see their lives transform, to see people who have been saved but never discipled or misdiscipled begin to realize the truth of your word and see them grow like a weed and transform. Lord, may that ever be here on this hill. May the testimony and the witness of these folks be a love for you and a love for their neighbors. Spirit of God, would you draw the line in the sand? And may we step over this morning. And may we take warning. May we take heed to what took place with your people during this time of Malachi's ministry. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's all